This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to The Drive. Jay Binkley, Rob Britton, Carrington Harrison back with you tomorrow. Chiefs camp starts tomorrow in St. Joe. Finally. Do you realize, Rob, that 84% of NFL teams stay at home now? Only 27 of 32 teams have camp away. You might have seen the Cowboys already. They're out in California. They're one of them. The Colts are another. The Panthers are another. And the Washington football team is another. They're only doing five practices away, then they're going back. That's it. It's almost like a dinosaur. Only 10 teams back in 2000 had their training camps at home. 27 of them now. I'm glad the Chiefs still do it. This is a big Andy Reid thing. He did it in Philly. He left. They started doing it again. Speaking of NFL news, there is news. You might have heard college football world, like the Big 12, like the SEC. They came out and said, because remember last year, it was like playing checkers, trying to figure out where the games are going to be played. You remember, like Tuesday or Wednesday, you'd find out, okay, your game's been canceled. Now, not that you were going to go to the games, because not many could go to games last year. But, I mean, it was hit or miss whether you could or not at attendance, but you would be excited to watch the game of your favorite college team. And then there would be the rescheduling purposes. Like teams, except for the Big Ten, that jumped in late because they thought everybody was going to jump in with them, and they didn't. Or the Pac-12 that came in late. The Big 12 and the SEC, I felt, already kind of had a plan with their off days. They could find ways to reschedule games. You saw at the day of the SEC championship, there were still teams making up games. Like they found a way to do it. BYU and Coastal Carolina, both good teams last year. You might remember their game wasn't officially scheduled until Thursday night, and they played Saturday. I mean, weird things happen. And they had to think on the fly, these ADs, to get these games scheduled. And it became kind of a problem. All right, we got to make up this game then. Yeah, you needed a roadmap to follow your college football team last year. You worried too. They're going to be at the threshold. Can they bow out of this game? Because we saw teams like Florida State cancel the day of. Ask Clemson. Like, you saw teams using the excuse, competitive advantage excuse. Not anymore. College football said, if you have to forfeit your, if you, we're not rescheduling your game, you're out. You're forfeited, you're done, you take the L. Well, the NFL is doing the same thing. Said the NFL and NFLPA agreed the players on both teams wouldn't be paid for any canceled games. So if they cancel a game, you lose your check, Rob, and that becomes pretty serious when you start taking game checks away for canceled games, especially the players that could play in it, but it's up to the players that can't play in it, and you could be losing your money. The NFL team said that if they can't be rescheduled, remember, it's an 18-week season because they moved to actually 17 official games. You have the bye. There's 272 regular season games in the NFL now. Last year, previous year's 256 regular season games. But if it cannot be rescheduled, you take the L. Which is, I'm good with it, man. I'm good with it. Because last year was a mess. Your team didn't get to it. That's their own problem. They take the L. It's just got to be that way. It was frustrating to see games canceled last year at the last minute. Now, they can reschedule them if they can be rescheduled. You know, this whole moving games to Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm not a fan of that, Rob, especially if your team is fine and it's the other team with the problems. It could be, but then again, you're on a short notice. I don't think that's fair to certain teams. Now, I don't think the NFL is going to bend a lot with Tuesday and Wednesday games. Do you? I mean, I don't see it in the cards that to say, okay, we can play Wednesday. No, that's a short turnaround for the next week. If I'm a team, I'm complaining.
By the way, in this same vein, because as you mentioned, the NFL memo that regarding unvaccinated players, if your team has an infection among unvaccinated players, your team takes a loss, affects seeding, takes a penalty, et cetera, et cetera. Well, star wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals, DeAndre Hopkins, has taken to Twitter after this memo got circulated earlier today. Oh. DeAndre Hopkins has tweeted out the following. Never thought I would say this, but being put into a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. So I believe it's probably posturing and smoke, whatever terminology you like. But the NFL memo about unvaccinated players has at least gotten a response from DeAndre Hopkins, where he is saying he is considering his future in the NFL if he has to be vaccinated.
I hate hearing that. I hate losing a talent like that. You think it would come down to that? I mean, I hope not. They're making it really difficult for guys not to. And then you had Mark Cuban step up with Cole Beasley and said, hey, if you do this, I'll make sure your wife has stock, you know, in Pfizer or whatever. That was kind of a cool deal. Again, I hate giving people all these gifts to do something anyway. But regardless, you want them to do it. But they're making it difficult, man. For example, if you're vaccinated and you do get COVID, but you are asymptomatic, you can go back. Now, if you haven't, you're out for 10 days. It becomes a business decision at that point. But the NFL said, you're not going to get paid. You lose a game check. When you start hitting the pocketbooks, I think that's when it really starts to matter, Rob. Because now you're affecting the pay of somebody else, right? Because of your decision, you are now affecting the pay of somebody else. And you know what? I think it becomes friction. I think it becomes a sore spot with teams.
I think, and maybe this is the harsh reality or the hush-hush thing the NFL doesn't want to say, but we're all kind of thinking. I think if you're a guy 53, 54, 55, fighting for that final roster spot, on cut day, they're going to consider your vaccination status.
I think so. I think you're
right. If you're a friend, I know Tershawn Wharton is very, I was using this example because he's the guy that fought, got on the roster last year and was very good. A guy like that fighting for a roster spot versus someone else, you might say, well, one of them's unvaccinated and puts us in a potentially bad position. One of them's vaccinated. I would imagine teams would lean the vaccinated player. So the unvaccinated players have become a situation in the NFL. They're not rewarding you, hey, go get the vaccine. They're punishing you. That's what the NFL's doing. They've said it without saying
they're not making you do it, but they're making it be a real business decision.
Correct. They're punishing you without punishing you. Hey, you do this or there's going to be ramifications, but you don't have to do it, but there'll be ramifications if you don't. That's exactly what the NFL is saying right now in this memo, and it has DeAndre Hopkins heated.
I know we have different things we have to do because of the NFL, like when you're doing this and you're covering teams, and you have a choice. Either do it or don't. I mean, it's business decisions, like we're saying. You can or can't. And I know Jerry Jones has been, you know, high on this in Dallas to do it because he doesn't want to lose games because of it. But the NFL's serious, and they'll make you take an L, and then they'll start hitting you in the pocketbook. So the NFL has basically said, we're not making your games up if you can't play. And again, I think it will come down. I mean, again, people can do whatever the hell they want. I really don't care. But I knew that there will be players that get a high rate of money in this game that might have been vaccinated. And a large amount of players, even though, like, I think 14 teams are 85%. So, you know, they're almost reaching the halfway mark in the NFL. But if a group of players aren't, and all of a sudden you get your pay taken away, I think that starts to become a problem within teams. Now, they'll have to deal with themselves. Players will have to deal with it. I just think it'll become a sore point of contention amongst NFL players. But the NFL has basically said, we're tired of this. I think college football got tired of rescheduling things as well. They did what they could, and I give them credit. I give the NFL a ton of credit last year. You know, NBA was in a bubble. NHL was in a bubble. Major League Baseball played in front of cardboard. The NFL didn't, man. I mean, they took it head on. They got all 256 games in. They had to reschedule some, sure, but they got them in. And I think there needs to be some credit given towards them for that, but they're tired of it. They're tired of it. And they say this is the way it is. These are the rules, and you have choices in this world whether you want to do something or not. That's the choices we are given. And if you want to work at a certain place, and they're saying, or you're moving into a new company, most companies will let you still work there regardless of the rules because you're kind of grandfathered in, but you want to go somewhere else and they have rules, well, it's your choice. You want to work there or not? I mean, again, life comes down to business decisions, and I think the NFL is ready to move on in a different way. But I do think this becomes an issue. I never heard this about DeAndre Hopkins. Now, he didn't have to do this. He didn't have to say it. Didn't have to do it whatsoever. But he doesn't want to be put in a position to hurt his team. Now he's contemplating his future in the NFL.
He has since deleted the tweet, but screenshots live forever, DeAndre.
Oh, they have, but here's the thing. What else are you going to do to make this kind of money? I mean, you could go back to law school. You could go back to medical school. I mean, these NFL contracts just aren't on the street, Rob. I mean, you don't have one. I don't have one. I imagine a lot of people in the city don't have an NFL-type contract. But again, it's your decision. You can do whatever you want. No one is forcing you to play in the National Football League. You have the God-given ability to go do it. It's your choice to do it or not do it. It comes down to that. But the NFL's put out their rules. That is a place of business. Just like you have rules at your place of business. Whether you have to wear a mask, you don't, or you got to fill out something online or whatever every day, or you had to get tested or swabbed. I get it. I've gone through that stuff too. I get it. Personally, I don't like being tested all the time. I don't like it. But if it's the rules, you do it. The rules are the rules. Bottom line, I know Rob is head swabs. I don't think you like him either.
I did not like the swabs. Zero enjoyment from swabs.
The spit test seems like more fun, but I didn't have to do that. I just get the swab, you know?
I mean, the swab is awful.
Never got it, though. Crust, knock on wood. Of course, I will now. But I have been vaccinated, so, you know, whatever. You know, let's hope for the best as far as that is concerned. Big 12, not messing around. Had the opportunity earlier today to catch up with Chip Brown. He used to be over at Orange Bloods. He since sold that. He's part of 247 now, which is big in the recruiting world. Rivals, 247, both the same. His thoughts on Texas, like, why are they doing this? Where'd this come from? And what are their plans? Because their plans is just like Oklahoma. Why do they want out of the Big 12? Hear from Chip Brown next.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to The Drive. We're about 11 minutes away from talking to Coach Pinkel, Jay Binkley, and for CDOT. He'll be back tomorrow. Of course, we have Chiefs rookies reporting, Andy Reid reporting, Patrick Mahomes reporting for the Kansas City Chiefs. But like we said, we talked about business decisions earlier. Well, Texas and Oklahoma are making a business decision. One thing we know is life will go on with you or without you. It just does. And you always have to make plans and preparations. You know, I'll never forget when we talked to Gene Taylor and Cody and Gold last week when I was in for Cody. He's the AD at Kansas State, and he was talking about, you know, the name, image, and likeness, because that was the big story, obviously, before Texas and Oklahoma, and it's still a big story. They started planning for that, like, during the pandemic because they could see it on the horizon. See, that is being proactive. That is thinking about things for the future. All right, so Chip Brown joined us earlier. I had a conversation with him before the show. He's an insider for the Texas Longhorns on 247 Sports. And we talked about Texas A&M brought their AD, Bjork. down to Hoover, Alabama. ADs don't usually go to the media days, but he was there. How interesting is that? The story came out in the Houston Chronicle from a guy that covers Texas A&M. Again, politics are played in the big world of college football. But here was Chip Brown, a Texas Longhorn insider, on how A&M will fight to keep Texas out of the SEC.
Very well known that A&M is going to fight this. And I can tell you, A&M System Chancellor John Sharp, who I covered in the legislature, is as savvy a politician as it gets. And he's constantly in a one-up battle with Texas, always trying to give A&M the advantage. And so, you know, I reported today at Horns 24/7 that, according to sources, he's working Missouri, Arkansas, and LSU, you know, to try to be dissenting votes, because in the SEC you have to have 11 of 14 schools to approve expansion.
So there you go. Going to try to fight the fight. Texas legislature getting involved in this too now, of course. And A&M's got some politicking to do. Now, Tony Barnhart, that covers the SEC, the guy's covered it for all the time, said that schools will say publicly they will vote for Texas and Oklahoma to be in the SEC 14-0. But privately, when you get down to doing it, teams don't do it until it comes out. But you say, sure, but Texas A&M not going to be one of those teams. Like Texas A&M digging in for a fight. What would be the timeline for the move for Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC? Again, the grant of rights expires in 2025. A lot of times these conferences work on deals before then. Again, the landscape has changed from television to the online streaming now. We're more of a digital world. You know, players like Amazon, you know, coming into the equation. So there's more pieces of the pie to be divided up. But these schools can buy themselves out. Will they? I don't know. Chip Brown doesn't seem to think so. He thinks they could stay the whole time, Texas.
Well, I think as of right now, the thought was it would happen when the Big 12 rights expire in 25. You know, there was talk of redoing the Big 12 media rights ahead of the 25 you know, expiration date, and I think that's what triggered Texas and Oklahoma to say, hey, wait a minute, things are changing so fast. Are we in the best place possible for when that landscape shakes out? And so I think that's what, you know, that's what the impetus was for Texas and Oklahoma to explore this. Plus, with the name, image, likeness money now, you know, student-athletes can earn money off their name, image, and likeness. It's sort of an equalizer. You know, if there was ever any concern about money under the table in the SEC, well, now, you know, student-athletes can get money over the table. And is it easier to recruit to the SEC? Is it easier to sell student-athletes on that? And then, you know, also I think you look at the expansion of the 12th to a 12-team playoff, you can get beat up a little bit in league play and still get into the playoff. And I think that's the thinking that, you know, Texas and Oklahoma have.
So this could feasibly happen before 25, like you're saying. I mean, that it could be within the next probably 2 years.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I don't think Texas has any intention of trying to, you know, gut the Big 12. I think the plan for them would be to announce that, hey, in 25 we're leaving, but until then we're still going to do everything, you know, that we're obligated to do in the Big 12.
Yeah, good luck with that too, Rob. Good luck for that. If people know the Texas Longhorns are leaving and Oklahoma Sooners, this conference could be over. And it is their fault, you know, with Baylor, with Texas Tech, with Oklahoma State, with Iowa State, with Kansas State looking at Texas and Oklahoma, you know, they're not going to be welcome in this conference. If they're going to leave, they're not going to be welcome. People are going to turn their back on those programs. They're not going to feel welcome in this conference at all. They're going to be actually hated this conference, because it could be the end of the Big 12 conference unless they shake things up, unless they get proactive in who they want. But again, the choices are limited at this point. You know, the SEC, if getting Texas and Oklahoma, they'll dominate. But there's schools, and I get it, Texas A&M may fight, you know, for Arkansas's vote, Missouri's, whatever. That's fine. But there's schools like South Carolina, like Kentucky, wanting to take that next step. You know, Florida, the Florida Gators, because now you have Texas. Well, Texas isn't a problem at this point. They will be, in my opinion. Oklahoma is a problem, and you could have them on your schedule. Obviously, you're not going to have them on your schedule every year. That's not how things work in the SEC, especially with 16 teams. You wouldn't see them in eight-game schedules. You wouldn't see them for a couple of years. But that presents another problem with inside your division, East or West, that presents another team, another thorn in your side that could get to the SEC. Now, if they expand the playoffs to 12, it doesn't much matter, you know, getting to the conference championship game or winning your conference. You can still get in the big dance as it is with the SEC. Chip Brown also would like to get geography back. Again, like the Big 12, doesn't make a ton of sense having West Virginia in the conference, but they do.
I mean, I love college athletics. I love college football and college basketball, and all this realignment stuff is maddening. You know, I hope we get to the point where we do put some geographic sense back into it, and all, you know, the top 64 schools work together to improve the overall landscape like the NFL does, because college football is the farm system for the NFL. I know the college purists don't like talking about that. They're student athletes. Yeah, but they're also the farm system for the NFL. And ultimately, that group should be working together like the NFL. And that's where the most money is, so that you can have better situations for student athletes in terms of health insurance, concussion database, and all of that, because those kids deserve that.
Well, it's certainly become interesting. I kind of wish this would have developed during the Big 12 media days when Bowlesby was down there, but it developed during the SEC media days. Usually the SEC has their media days during All-Star Week because they know they can garner the headlines. And you know what? This would have garnered the headlines. This would have outdone the All-Star game. This news would have led SportsCenter. This would have done it because the SEC would have done it yet again. Not that it does in the past, because usually Nick Saban, well, his news will go, you know, we'll beat out the Home Run Derby or you name it from the SEC media days. But again, big news drops. One guy that was part of the Big 12 that joined the SEC, he made that move, made that leap. You know, what was the animosity with Missouri and Texas? Name, image, and likeness now. The whole landscape has changed since Gary Pinkel's retired. We'll talk to the coach next.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6. Welcome back to The Drive.
Welcome back. Obviously sitting on football leave. Training camp starts tomorrow for the Kansas City Chiefs. We've got media days going on right now. And right now I'm pleased to be joined by the all-time winningest coach at Toledo, at Missouri. He's won 11 bowl games. He's went to 11 bowl games, not won 11. He wish he did. But what's up, Coach Pinkel?
How we doing?
Hey, we're doing good. I said you won 11 bowl games, and that was incorrect. It's 7-4.
Yeah, exactly. You didn't get that right. I wish I would have, though.
Yeah, you wish you would have. But, man, if things changed in college football, even since we talked every week during the pandemic last year, now we got name, image, and likeness. We got the possible SEC expanding again. There's been a few things that happened, Coach.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, isn't it? I mean, it's just a lot of stuff's going on. We'll see where it goes. You know, both are so very, very significant in the future of college football. And, you know, I just want it to get right. And, you know, I love college football, and hopefully it will get right and work for everybody.
Well, I tell you what, Coach, it is interesting as far as these comments, because I know coaches have been talking about them. Usually they don't, you know, talk about the rumors and stuff, but there's smoke, there's fire. Now the Big 12 ADs are meeting with the presidents tonight. I mean, there's some legitimacy to this. Obviously, Texas and Oklahoma, they went out of the Big 12. But in order to get into the SEC, you need 11 of 14 votes. I don't know, like, people's feelings. I know that there's some schools that don't like Texas. And what went on, A&M's been pretty vocal about it. You know, well, you were a guy that was in the Big 12 that went to the SEC, and here's Texas and Oklahoma trying to get into the conference. Do you think they'll find enough votes to get in?
Well, I think they probably got a pretty good chance of doing that. I mean, I don't think the vote will be taken until they know they got the right amount. I think it's kind of how the way thing will be operate. It's interesting, you know, it's just interesting to see what happens. And, you know, the big picture is about money. And it's from my observation on this is, you know, I understand that that the SEC had their contract, they had many years in the contract, and they redid their contract in the middle of it, and all the teams are making much more money. And they tried to do that in the Big 12, and they didn't want to renegotiate yet. So I think these two teams are sitting there saying, we're two of the best teams in the nation, and we're not making near the money we could be making if we were over in the SEC competing over there. So to me, that's a lot of what happened there. That's what I've read, and some people I've talked to that are kind of inside out. And so I think that's where it started. And I remember when that happened to us, and all of a sudden we're going to switch leagues, we're going to go to the SEC, and us and A&M. And so it's really interesting. But I believe that it's live. I believe that it's real. That this is this stuff doesn't come out. And everybody says no comment. If it wasn't real, they'd be saying they would deny it. So yeah, it's not true. But even, you know, Greg Sankey, who's one of the best commissioners, you know, the best ever in college football for the SEC, you know, he's the same way. He just does not have a comment. So, you know, something's going on.
Yeah, it is. Coach, you were at Mizzou when Kevin Weberg was commissioner of the Big 12. He used to be your commissioner. And he left to start the Big. I mean, he left being a commissioner to start the Big Ten Network. I've always heard that with the Big 12. I mean, you were part of it then, you know, part of the Big 12. Conferences did not have TV networks at the time, but wasn't the Big 12 like trying to get this ball rolling before every other conference grabbed it?
I thought they were. I think Texas was the one. I could be wrong on this. It was many years ago.
Yeah.
But it could be Texas wanted to have their own. They didn't want to get in with the Big 12. They wanted to have their own. I think that was a stumbling block in that, I believe. There might be a little bit more to it, but that was part of it. But, no, this is going to be really interesting. And then you look at what's going to happen to the Big 12. So
yeah,
now there's a discussion, it's going to become a four. You know, instead of having five Power 5 leagues, they're going to have four. And I think not that everybody's going to get to 16, but at the end of the day, you know, I think that's kind of the direction where it's going to go. And it's just really interesting. I heard today they were talking about having in the SEC having four different small leagues, four teams on each one, and they could play each other more. They will not have out of conference games as much, and really interesting stuff. And along with its marriage to the 12-team playoff that's going to happen too. So it's kind of interesting to see. A lot of stuff's going on, so it's pretty crazy.
I don't think people realize sometimes, Coach, just how much football. Described by Dennis Dodd, who covers college football, he described it as driving the bus. And they said even a school like Kansas, their basketball team could be as good as it is, but yet the football team brings in the revenue. Like, even though they've had down years, but I don't think people sometimes realize just the importance that, yeah, teams, I think conferences look at basketball, but first of all, they care about football.
Yeah, and for us, it was kind of interesting because, you know, that when all this stuff was happening, We ranked seventh in 2007. We ranked, I think, at fourth. 2008, I think we ranked about the divisional title on both, lost championship games. That's my responsibility. We were 10 or 12 or something, 12 or 14 or something like that. Then the next, and then in 2010, you know, we tied for the championship. I think with Nebraska, they ended up winning it. So we had really had three really big seasons in the previous, you know, 6-7 years, and I think that really opened the door for us to be invited, you know, to the SEC. And you know, as it turned out now, it was a good move then. It's remarkably difficult, you know, from a coaching perspective. You know, the challenges are greater there just because the competition is so remarkably high.
Yeah, Missouri made the right move. With confidence and certainty, they got into the best conference in college football. Did you feel welcome at first when you're in the conference, Coach, or did it take you, you know, getting to that title game? You kind of alluded to it there, you know, as far as gaining the respect of other teams, but you went to back-to-back SEC title games. Did you feel like you had to earn your respect a little bit?
Well, I think I did for a little bit for our league, you know, I mean for us being in there and, you know, coming, you know, from the Big 12 and, you know, in 13, you know, we ended up fifth in the nation, 14th in the next year. We in the title the next day, divisional title, and lost championship games. So I'm responsible for losing four championship games that would put us in the maybe the college football championship. So, we were battling there, but I think we came in right away and said, "Hey, listen, we can compete." I think that's what the message was when we got the SEC, because people said, "Well, they'll never compete in there; they're not going to have a chance." And I think we won 21 or 22 games in 2 years, and so pretty interesting, just to see how that goes down. The league is so first class. Eli was there, did a great job today. But so first class in how they do things, and the press, the preseason press conferences that they had for the SEC are remarkably different than others I've been to, because the enormous amount of press that is there. It's hard to even explain to anybody. When you walk around as a head coach from room to room, as you take in, there's 25 cameras walking with you, film cameras, just taking photos and shooting videos and watching you walk and ask you questions as you're going. And I mean, it's just very hard to describe what it's like, but it's a remarkably well-organized conference, and Greg Sankey has nothing to do with it because he's one of the best ever.
Yeah, I always appreciated Missouri giving us the opportunity to speak to you guys in a hotel room before the real circus began. And I remember those days going up to the hotel room talking to you guys before you went to like four different rooms and the network set, but they kept you pretty busy, man. You're all about business when you got there.
It's nonstop. It's pretty cool, but you obviously got to prepare for it well, and you're going to have anything and everything is going to be asked of you, or what you're doing, or what you're having, and what to do with. And at the end of the day, it's a really great experience. And also, I think they still bring two or three or four players. I'm not sure, but a remarkably awesome time and experience for the players that each team brings in. To have that kind of experience, and they sure go back to their teammates and go, "Holy smokes, you have no idea what this is like." And so it's pretty cool.
Well, the other thing that's changed too, Coach, is name, image, and likeness. It's something you didn't have to deal with, and now coaches are having to deal with it. I brought Jordy Nelson, a former K-State guy, on the program before, and he's going to be speaking to the team. I could see several pitfalls players falling into. First of all, the transfer portal's out there, so these companies might come back and want some of their money, and then the IRS going to be looking out and everything else. But what was your feelings on that when all of a sudden players can start making money now, because you would have had to deal with this?
Well, I think they should have dealt with it many, many, many years ago, because legally they have a right to players have the right to this. So I don't have any problem with that. The dynamics are really interesting. I mean, the starting quarterback for Alabama has got $1 million contract. And not even that, that's not the issue. The point I'm trying to make is you're trying to conduct a team here. You're trying to have a team, and your right guard and center or right tackle, I'm not talking about Alabama, but just in general.
Yeah.
Maybe have a contract, they make $500 a month, and then your quarterback makes $50,000 or $150,000 a year, and your tailback does, but the other linemen who are making it all well give you an opportunity to throw the ball, give you an opportunity to run the ball, they hardly make anything. And this, just the dynamics of having to deal with a locker room when one guy's driving a brand new car in and you're driving the old one that your mom and dad bought you when you were a senior in high school. It's problematic. I don't know what you're going to do about it, what can happen. There are no rules or regulations, basically. They're very basic rules. It's just really going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. I think, we generally, when I would go on a home visit with an assistant coach who's recruiting a player, so I meet him, the assistant coach, and we go in there, and there's mom there, there's dad there, there's the student athlete that we're recruiting. Johnny's sitting there, and now what we're going to have is we're going to have an agent sitting next to them, and the agent's going to look at us and say, "What are you going to be able to do?" Well, we can't do as coaches, we can't do things, but they'll be able to. They'll have to explain, this is the way you can that kids get paid at Missouri, and we have a lot of people that do those kind of things. Again, the coaches can't do this. It's just so problematic, and I'm happy for the players, but I just, the cheating that will most likely go on is staggering to think, you know, what it's going to be like.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy, Coach. I didn't talk to you, but you mentioned Eli Drinkwitz talking now. This is a guy that's paid his dues in college football, rising the ranks, and the recruiting is going well for Eli Drinkwitz, and a lot of people have real high expectations on your former team this year.
Yeah, and they should. I think they do. I think he's done a good, really good job. I'm very impressed with him. Was the day I met him, which was right before his press conference. We accepted the job here. I walked out and I went, wow, this guy, and now I know why they hired the guy. So anyway, you know, at the end of the day, it's about winning and losing now, unfortunately. It's, you know, and you know, he's a good man. He's got a good staff. I think he does a lot of great things with the players. And every year he invites me to speak to the team about some subject matter. And this year I'm going to speak to the team about creating a culture, a winning culture, and kind of give some points and ideas there. So other than that, I kind of stay away. I don't want to be near him. I want to let him do his job. But I think we got a lot of good things going. And it's, well, anyway, the SEC, man, it's remarkably competitive. I mean, it's hard to even explain to anybody. It's just remarkably difficult to win, but it's fun to be in, and you're going to play against the best. So it's also exciting.
And it could be gaining Texas and Oklahoma. Final thing for you, Coach. I got to ask you, what would you and Nick Saban been rolling around at Kent State in the early 70s had you been given free cars from playing football for Kent State?
Well, I was a better player than him, so I should have had a better car. I guarantee you that. That's what I'd say for sure. But he's Nick's very, you know, Nick and I, you know, he's a year older than me. You know, he's just a great, you know, obviously a great coach, remarkable coach. Doesn't change a whole lot. When he talks, he sounds like Don James, who our mentor was at Kent. And Don James is the guy that, you know, Nick was going to, after we graduated, he was from West Virginia. After senior year, he was going to go work for his dad, and he wanted to buy some car dealerships. Well, he bought a lot of car dealerships since. But at the end of the time, he was not really considering football, and Coach James kind of talked him in and said, just, why don't you just try one quarter, one semester here, and just try to see if you're going to like it. Well, Nick did that, and he, you know, fell in love. He was so good with working with people. I could see that myself. And working with kids and motivating them, and the rest is history, you know. He wrote the beginning of my book for me, and just very proud of him and his remarkable accomplishments.
Gary Pinkel, The 100-Yard Journey, you can still go out and buy it. He wrote the book with Dave Matter. And I will say this, Coach, after winning his seventh title in college football, when the confetti was coming down, I'll never forget some of the words he was saying. He was thinking about the losses instead of the wins. That's what a coach does, right? Like, he's talking about those instead of the wins, right?
Yeah, that's kind of him. You know what that shows to his players? We know what he's doing. He does that. He's preparing for next year. We're gonna let you enjoy this a little bit. Then we're gonna shut it down. Let's get ready for this. We'll talk about this year. It's over. Let's move on. And that's kind of his subtle way of playing mind games with his football team.
Well, he mentioned Nick Saban wrote the foreword to his book. Are you working on part two of this book? Are you going, still doing books, or are you going to stay at this one?
No, I'm really spending a lot of time on my foundation. You know, we just had a golf tournament, and we netted, you know, over $135,000 to help kids. And so we're doing a lot of different things with that, and we're growing. It's gotten bigger and bigger. So I'm really happy doing that, and my focus is on, you know, helping happier lives for kids, and that's what we're working on.
I know you've been interested with the Kansas City Chiefs and in some of their players and everything else. So training camp does start tomorrow with rookies and quarterbacks, Coach. So you got something to do now. You were with working with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. So I don't want to screw Tyreek Hill up. So he's, you know, really a great player, but a great, you know, Andy Hill's coaching there right now. Mm-hmm. He worked for me for 15 years, and you know, a great Mizzou guy, and a great, you know, he grew up north of Kansas City, and I talked to him a little bit. I just wish him a lot of luck. It's a great organization. They do so many great things. And obviously, they got the key ingredients for a lot of remarkable players in that organization. And so it's get back to work time. You know, every day trying to make yourself better. You know things that all coaches talk about, and staying healthy in camp, and you know, all those things. And before you know it, it's so exciting because, you know, the last year, you know, we got to be a part of it, but we had to sit in our houses and watch. And now all over the country, whether it's high school or peewee football or college football or the NFL, you know, everybody's out and everybody's enjoying it, and we got it all back. And so it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Coach is busy. GPMade.com, that's where the Gary Pinkel Foundation is. Coach, always good catching up with you. Obviously, things in the college football world have changed since we last talked, even though they continue to change. Very interesting, but hope all is well with you and your family.
Yeah, I'm doing great, and we'll talk soon. Take care. Thank you.
All right, Coach, take care. Right there, Gary Pinkel. I don't know, Rob. He seemed like he was open to it, right? Like, he could have thrown barbs at Texas way. I mean, he was talking about the value of the SEC. Did you see the latest tweet out now about college expansion?
Oh, that one from Swaim. Swaim. Yeah, I don't believe that for one
minute.
You're
not buying it. You're
not buying it. That one, that
he says that the Pac-12's getting calls and texts now. The Pac-12 wants to add Okie State, Tech, K-State, and Iowa State. Kansas isn't in there, buddy.
Do you think, I mean.
Like, Kansas was not mentioned in the Pac-12.
Maybe this is my KU hubris, and full disclosure could be that. Do you think if the Pac-12 was looking to add four teams, they would add the four ag schools? Come on now. K-State.
Why not?
K-State, Iowa State, and Tech? You think those are the three targets out of the Big 12?
Iowa State?
I think what
Farmageddon?
I think what Dennis Dodd
said. Farmageddon in the Pac-12.
I think what Dennis Dodd said earlier, Stuart Mandel said earlier on Cody and Gold is 100% correct. When he said the harsh reality is, outside of OU and Texas, the other eight members of the Big 12 are all basically on the exact same footing. So the idea that the Pac-12 would come in and pick off those four, which, by the way, those four also probably the worst media markets you could grab, it sounds like a made-up story to me. It makes no sense.
I'm just saying, everybody's trying to position themselves. It's time to get calls and texts. You mentioned Stuart Mandel talking about the grant of rights. He was on Cody and Gold.
Well, with the caveat that 24 hours ago I couldn't have told you, I had no inkling. But it's one of those things where now you do some reporting and you look, oh, I missed the sign. And it kind of we were all. I mean, look, this has been an crazy summer with the playoff expansion, with NIL. I think we were all a little bit distracted and didn't notice what turned out to be a pretty significant story in May, which is that the Big 12 initiated discussions with ESPN and Fox about wanting to go ahead and start negotiating their next contract, even though it's not up until 2025. And that's a bit unusual, but it's what the SEC did recently. They went ahead and made that new deal with ESPN for the games that are currently on CBS, even though that deal didn't expire for another 4 years. So I guess they were looking to, you probably sacrifice a little bit of money if you do it this way, but they wanted that long-term security, and they were rebuffed. You know, they basically got the message that this is just the Big 12 football. It's just not as high a priority to ESPN and Fox as the SEC is, and that there's some other, major properties coming up before then, including the Big 10, possibly an expanded CFP that are of more urgency to them. And it seems to me that really freaked out Texas and Oklahoma and made them think this is the time to start. We need to really start looking elsewhere. There's certainly other factors probably that would have contributed to that. I think the pandemic made everybody take stock of, hey, where we are and how secure are we. You may have seen a couple months ago also the SEC is giving each of their members like a $23 million loan to help offset losses from last year. Not a lot of conferences would have the ability to do that. So I think that was probably the key instigator. What we don't know is how far along was this before. And I've never seen such an obvious leak, but before A&M leaked this to try to blow it up, were they really that close to sending the Big 12 basically a letter of resignation, or were they going to kind of just keep looking at other options in secret for a while, knowing this wasn't necessarily urgent because the deal has so many years still to go?
So interesting stuff from Stuart Mandel. You're not buying this tweet, huh? Swaim's got like 53,000 followers. Like, he's in tune. He's an Oklahoma State grad. Like, if Oklahoma State's mentioned, he might know. Rob, he might be the connection there. That might be it. He says he's an Oklahoma State alumnus. Says the Big 12 needs to be calling BYU. Yeah, probably. Probably. It's a pretty big following. But again, I don't know if the Big 12 can salvage itself now. They need to stop teams from flirting with other teams. And I, whether you believe Swaim or not, I do, because there's so much fire around this. Hell, even Pinkel. These coaches usually say they're just rumors, right? He didn't. And he even brought up what we said. Like, these coaches aren't backing away from it. Texas and Oklahoma did not give you a defiant no. They danced around it like Fred Astaire, tap dancing. Like, they didn't do it. And Coach said that they've done research, and other people said that too. Like, Texas and Oklahoma wouldn't say to make this jump unless they think they have the votes necessary. And I know Texas A&M playing hardball with them right now. Kind of look like babies to an extent. They can't. Texas is a big state. They can't be the only SEC team there. It's just the SEC doesn't care. And they're bigger than you, A&M. And they want to prove themselves more than you. And they will. But, yeah, I'm with Coach Pinkel. These teams know. They're not going to jump into saying something with something they don't. But I don't believe the Pac-12. I'm gonna pretend like this tweet's real, Rob. I'm going to pretend like this tweet is real. They want Iowa State. They want Kansas State. They want Oklahoma State. Again, they're not garnering a lot of national following, but this is the steps to make 16-team power conferences. Like, they need these. And Iowa State's a big program. K-State is. But again, if you're these conferences, Pac-12's got a new commissioner. Larry Scott's gone, brand new commissioner. But don't you have to be thinking about who you'd add? Like, I want to hear boot news from Big 12. Like, if you're going to leave, who do you want to add? Or is the Big 12 done? Is it done? Can we forget about it? It's done. Which would suck, because the Big 12 basketball tournament in Kansas City is pretty damn fun. Could this be the end of it? Is the Big 12 over before we know it because they played defense instead of offense? In a world and a landscape where offense is the name of the game in college football, the Big 12, and there's nothing wrong with defense. I like defense, but as a commissioner, you can't be defensive. You just can't do it. But what does this mean for Kansas and Kansas State? Well, I threw out something possibly with Kansas State and Kansas, these local programs. What happens to them? That's the big question. That's the big question on the text line. What happens to the Jayhawks? What happens to Kansas State? Because I know people in this town, me, the Pittsburgh States, Northwest Missouri State, UCM, people like them. But they're attracted to Kansas, Kansas State, and Missouri. We already know Missouri's in the VIP club in the SEC. They're just fine. Now you see why they moved. Now you see why they won out of the Big 12. Now it makes sense. And if you weren't on that bandwagon before, maybe it makes more sense to you now. But what happens to Kansas State? We address that next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.